Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable, home maintenance.
All right. I've finished my basement. I still have a couple little odds and ends to tie up. But I'm starting to get into the point, like, I've gone to some autograph shows and different things in the past, and I think to myself, why would somebody want to sell some, like, there's... It'll say the private collection of an athlete. And the reason is it ends up being furniture that lies around and you hang sweaters on it. It turns into nothing. It's not important. It has no value. I don't know. Maybe it does have some value, but Hazy, I want to unload this football and I want to know, you got first dibs. It's a bit of a tough sell because I'm going to turn this football around. And do you know who that autograph says?
It looks like Wayne Gretzky.
No.
But it can't be on a football. Is that a number nine? I can't tell. I
that
cannot
football
tell
is autographed. I bought this for $5,000.
Brett Favre.
But really?
Wow.
Is this something you really want to hang on your...
I don't know. He's in a bit of a bad place right now.
Dude, there's the answer right now. The fact that you said, I don't know.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
I would have a hard time getting rid of this autographed Brett Favre. Like, I have a Hideki Matsui autographed Yankees jersey.
There you go. That's a weird one to have, but
it is. I bought it at an auction. I used to love Matsui, and I'm like, why do I have a Hideki Matsui jersey? And I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, the Brett Favre football, like, if you're not familiar with this story, down in Mississippi, like, some really shady
all
stuff.
All kinds of problems.
Really, really, like, criminal, shady stuff.
Some stuff.
It could be really bad. And he is radioactive. You
dude,
know,
no kidding. Like, you put that on your shelf, somebody walks in there and goes, oh, cool football. Who signed that? Brett Favre. They'll just throw up in your office.
Yeah, it doesn't change the fact that I love them as a player, though. Right?
I get like, it, but it's just
player,
not a conversation piece you want.
It's this a tough thing, icebreaker.
I could put this out on the road and say free, and it might still be there in the morning.
Someone would take it.
I don't think so. Somebody would take it because there are collectors out there. Now, Brett Favre could go on the apology tour and make amends for some of the crappy things he's been doing or done. And that football could, the price or the aura around it could go right back to where it was.
Fame is fame, right? Like, even it doesn't, everyone's reputation comes and goes, but if you're a famous person and that signature is around, it's worth something, right? Like, it's any paraphernalia, you never know the angle people are coming from. I'm not a big paraphernalia guy, though. You know, I'm not big on sentimental value. I've never really sought out autographs. I'm not someone that shows up at an auction and is looking to buy anything. So, you know, I love Brett Favre as a player. I do. I obviously don't know him personally as an individual. I know what he's been alleged to have been doing in Mississippi. It's not a good look. It's a really horrible look. And I don't know. I guess what am I giving you an answer that I'm going to pass? Like, are you? I guess
pretty
I'll pass.
Much, yeah.
I guess
it's
I'll take
sad.
A pass.
It's sad.
Wow.
I'll take a pass.
And, dude, well, Rodgers, I mean, like, the way Rodgers is carrying on, then Rodgers football might not be far from it.
Well, he's not at the same level as what Brett Favre is being.
Dude, I know,
doing,
but he's got into the Wakasaya and all the nonsense, and he could be going down a goofy road. Who knows?
Is he still dating that Blue Earth Sky or whatever?
Blue of Earth? I haven't heard much on that. It seems like it's likely. You know, the way things are going,
it
seems likely. But I don't know the answer on Blue of Earth, what's up with that, and ayahuasca and what he's doing during his free time. But the Packers are they're in a bind. They're in a bind.
Yeah,
and listen, go, like, simply on the field, Favre into Rodgers has been one hell of a run, man. That's 30 years of elite quarterbacking.
Yeah.
They've been to three Super Bowls. They've won two of them. But it's a lot better than the Lions you know, the Vikings, the Bears, just those are the teams in their own division that they've dominated for 30 years. But yeah, that football, that's interesting. I don't know. You'd find takers on that. You'd find people willing to bid on that for sure. All right, Pierre LeBrun, TSN Hockey Insider, later this hour on the Morgan Riley injury news. The Leafs losing in overtime last night. Even though they played well, now they're going to Jersey. The Devils have won 13 in a row. That game going down tomorrow night. There's a lot to get into with Pierre. The World Cup tomorrow. We had Kevin Kilbane on yesterday. There seems to be more confidence, right? As we get closer to kickoff, the idea that Canada can actually find a way to either be victorious or find a way to get a point. You know, you'd take a tie right now. You could sign off on a tie right now against Belgium. You'd take it. Be a feel-good story. But that'll be going down tomorrow right here on TSN and on CTV. So Pierre LeBrun later this hour. Some injury news on the Raptors. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But it's Tuesday around 6:05. Let's fire up some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2023 NX250 all-wheel drive signature package from just $278 biweekly for 40 months. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. All right, confirm or deny. Let's begin with a little Canadian World Cup content. All right? Right in our wheelhouse. Confirm or deny, Canada will score at least two goals in the group stage. Two goals over the next three games. Confirm or deny.
I'm going to confirm it, even though I've heard some horror stories from legitimate professional soccer people. Mm-hmm. I've heard all ends of the spectrum. Like, they could have major upset capability, like, on the positive side. And I told you earlier in the show, I've also heard that they won't score a goal in this tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the positive end of that and say confirm they will get it done and score two goals. If you think of what, the 36 years they haven't been there, all of the work that's gone into the program, let's get two goals.
Give us two.
Let's give us
two goals. Come on now.
Yeah, I'd like to confirm it, but I'm going to deny it. I mean, I'm concerned that, let's be honest, like they're in tough. They might be in
powers.
Tough. That is the word, right? And everything is about 2026, building for that. And to me, getting a goal or two, I think, would be a win in its own right. But we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping for more, but I'm denying it.
Well, and the reason this is even a story is because in 86, when they went to the World Cup the last time, they didn't score. Now, this is a very different team that is known for the attack. Like, Davies can score. Jonathan David is a true powerhouse striker. Kyle Larin can score. I think Astacio can bring offense. You know, Buchanan can bring some offense. They've got guys who are capable of scoring. I think I'm going to confirm it because I think they can score. The question is, you know, when is it going to happen? Is it against Belgium? Is it against Croatia? Do they get two against Morocco at the end? I don't know. I mean, they're in tough. Like, we asked Stephen Caldwell this the other day, you know, what has to happen for them to get out of the group stage, and he said basically everything has to go perfectly. Like, that's right. What we're talking about here. Belgium's the number two ranked team in the world. You know, Croatia is like 12th. Morocco's in the top 20. It's tough. They're a tough group. Like, the group of death has not been applied anywhere. It might be this one, this group for Canada anyway, considering who they have to face. But I'm going to confirm it. I think goals are going to happen. Goals are going to happen. All right, confirm or deny. The Boston Bruins, who won again last night, that is 17-2 to start the season. The Bruins will finish the season with 125 or more points.
This sounds ridiculous.
It's pretty rich.
But I'm going to confirm it. 125 points.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of points. Tampa did it a few years ago. Remember when Tampa had those 60 wins? I think they finished with like 127 points. I believe. And
I got to go back on it. I think they're going to hit a bump on the road here. And I think of the word, the Leafs, as well as they played last year, they had 115.
Mm-hmm.
to think of a 10 spot on top of that or more, I got to deny it, although I like the number, Hayes. Well done.
Thank you.
It's a good number, but I'm denying it too because we haven't seen their downtime. Every team throughout a season has a lull. Maybe it's a five-game lull. Maybe there's Lassie, they're shorter than that. But I just I feel like the league catches up to you. The travel catches up to you. You know, injuries, all of that type of stuff.
The sickness. Sharp money's
so
on
I'm going to deny it.
Yeah.
Sharp money. That's an Al's brother saying.
Yes. I'm going to deny it as well. We had a Jerry last week about the President's Trophy. And as of now, it is a three-team race. Like, I was quick to dismiss the idea the Devils could possibly do that. And now they've won 13 in a row, and it's like, oh, they look pretty good. Vegas looks good. Boston looks very good. But there's so much time. There's over 60 games left to be played.
Exactly, 60 games.
Like, there's so much
It's not like they're going to get, like, worse. They might just keep handing teams their rear ends, man.
Right. Like, I think I expect them to finish certainly, you know, 115, 117, you know, something like that. It seems to be reasonable considering where they are and how well they've been playing. But this sport is crazy. Like, we've been detailing this all day, how wild the rest of the league is outside of Boston, Vegas, and Jersey. Would it be shocking if in 2 weeks they lost five in a row? Like, I don't think it would be, just based on the nature of the way the sport is built right now and the way the game's being played. So I'll deny it as well. I'm still betting against the Bruins being, like, historically great. They're off to a historically great start. You got to give me another 20 games before I can start to envision, like, historically great 82-game season. Mm-hmm. Confirm or deny, my boy, Cole Caulfield, will score 40 or more goals this season.
Your guy?
Yeah, I've established him as my guy. Yeah.
When? Today?
Yeah, right now. Basically.
Oh. How many has he got right now?
He's into double digits. 11? I think he has 11.
Yeah, I thought he was 11.
11 on the season.
Deny. As good as he's been and as good as the connection with Suzuki has been, I just think he'll be in the high 20s or low 30s. I think he'll score between 27 and 32 goals this year.
Hmm. Very precise number. Okay, that's a real denial. Like, that's way beneath the
it's
number.
It's not way beneath. It's eight goals.
If it's 27, goals. It's 13.
I think he's going to score between 27 and 32 goals this year from my calculations.
All right. So that's a strong deny.
I'm going to deny it, but I think he's I think he's a 35 goal scorer. Like, I think, you know, they're running the power play through him. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a very dangerous shooter and scorer for them in years to come. But I don't know if he makes 40 this year, but I could see him being a 40-goal man in his career.
He's been a pure goal scorer his whole life. Like, that's what he's done. And this is effectively his third year, I guess. You know, like, his first year, not really. Like, he didn't really play in the bubble. He came up late, I believe.
Yeah, last year was full season.
Second full year. So I'm going to confirm it. Like, I'm going to confirm that he's been around the block. It's a young man's game. Everything's going through him. Like, the Habs, I think they have a plan. It'd be great to make the playoffs. I don't think they expect to make the playoffs, and I don't think they're going to make moves based on getting to the playoffs, which means I think Caulfield's going to play a ton, first PP, him and Suzuki all year, and they're just, like, St. Louis is just going to say, get out there. And ever since St. Louis took over, he has taken off Caulfield, and he's a pure goal scorer, man. Like, 40, that's a big number. It's absolutely a bull number. But we referenced DeBrincat the other day as the carbon copy, right-shotted, smaller American. DeBrincat's hit 40 in his career. I think he did it his third or fourth year in the league. So I'll confirm it. Confirm or deny, the Miami Dolphins will win the AFC East, not the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. The Miami Dolphins, they're both at 7-3 right now.
I'm going to confirm that. There's just something about the Tua magic that I actually like. I think it's new, it's fresh. And I like their coach. There's been some goofy things happen to them. We talked about the roller coaster of the NHL season. That Miami team, I think they were 3-0. And then they lost Tua, and they lost three in a row, and they were 3-3. and now they're back on track. He like Mahomes and Allen deserve the attention they've got, but wouldn't you say that Tua's probably riding up there with those guys as far as the MVP discussion?
Yeah, I think personally, it's over. I think Mahomes has got it and deserves it. Like,
what are you talking about? It's not even December yet.
I think he's definitively the best player in the league. Look at his numbers.
I know, but there's still a lot of runway here.
Absolutely. I'm saying as of today, if I had a vote, it's not a judgment call.
I'm just saying Tua has a lot of runway.
Numbers have been great.
I think he will be in that three-pack with Allen and Mahomes as the three people that will have votes for the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at the level of schedule, the degree of difficulty moving forward here. It looks like, you know, Buffalo's got Detroit coming up, but they got a few tough games ahead of them. And Miami, same type of thing. I want to believe that the Bills can do it. So
that's why I'm denying this, Noodles. I'm on the Bills to win the division because they still have to. Miami's got to play in Buffalo, but look at what they have to do, Miami. They still got to go at San Francisco, at the Chargers, at the Bills, at New England in January. That's tough. That's really tough, man. Like to your point though, if they win this division, Tua will be screaming MVP because of what they have to do to get there. That means they're gonna beat the Bills. That means they're gonna win at least one of those games at San Fran or at Buffalo. At least one of them. And when Tua's out, they lose. When Tua's in, they win. And his stats are off the charts. I think Tyreek Hill's getting some love too. Like he's leading the league in receptions and receiving yards. He's been unreal.
A wide receiver could be off the charts, and that they just never factor into an MVP conversation.
Cooper Kupp is the perfect example. He had what do you have? The triple
out of his
crown
mind,
last, out of his mind, and Rodgers still won it. Tyreek Hill's not going to win it, but he's been great, and Tua's numbers have been outstanding. But I'm going to deny it. I still think the Bills end up winning that. Final one here, confirm or deny, something we touched on last hour. Alek Manoah's comment about Gerrit Cole will lead to an in-game dust-up next season.
I already said it would happen. It's 100% confirmed. There's going to be a sizzler at Vladdy Jr.'s helmet, and then they've already had dust-ups when Manoah was in New York. He's always yelling at them and yelling at everybody, and that's why I would prefer to just go out there, like DeGrom, you watch him pitch, and Scherzer's a competitor. He's a lunatic, Scherzer. Dude, I know, but he doesn't make those comments. Like, he's a competitor. He's fiery on the field. And he'll fist pump when striking out a guy. But he's not saying this guy's the biggest cheater in baseball.
No, I'm not sure anyone but Manoah would say something
exactly.
Like that.
That's why you want don't be that guy.
You saw him spouting
his mouth off and where it ended up for him. It's not a good look, man. Not a good look.
Well, I'm going to confirm it, too. I think that somebody's going to get beaned. The dugouts will empty. We will have some words. We will have something happen, for sure.
Yes. I think that's at 100% confirmed as well in terms of a dust-up. Now, how much it elevates is anybody's guess. Will Manoah and Gerrit Cole ever actually come to blows?
No.
Because it just never happens, right?
No.
They never find each other. It's always just dugouts clear, bullpens clear, a bunch of yelling and screaming, and people go their own way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Hazy, you know who's probably working around the clock? Keegan Mathison posted some pictures of that reno down at the Rogers Center.
Mm-hmm.
Those people probably are on a crunch in a timeline to get that work done. And
big
it's
time.
Only November. And they might seem like they have a lot of time. That's a lot of work that has to be done there.
You're absolutely right. Like, the Jays are starting on the road, like a fairly long road trip to start the season to buy them a little bit more time. But you're right. They're a 2-week strike away from not getting it done.
Yeah, going back to Buffalo.
You're playing in Buffalo or Christy Pitts. You know, it'd be Yankees, Jays, or Christy Pitts. There's clearly that's an attention to detail, and you got to stay on the clock. And they're working on it. I'm curious to see how that plays out, you know, what the Rogers Center looks like once the facelift is officially finished. to start next season. So there you go. Confirm or deny. One of our favorites. We did it on the panel this time last week. It's already been a week since we did the panel. That's crazy, isn't it? Already been a week. Confirm or deny brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2023 NX250 all-wheel drive signature package from just $278 biweekly for 40 months. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. All right, Pierre LeBrun still to come on the Morgan Riley injury. What happens here? What does Dubas do to react to this? The Leafs losing in overtime again. How good are the Devils, the Bruins? What's up with Ottawa? There's a lot going on in the league. We'll catch up with Pierre LeBrun, and we'll do that next. All right, got some audio and video we want to play from the Monday Nighter down in Mexico City, including John Sutcliffe, I believe is his name, from ESPN and ESPN Deportes, getting the crowd jacked up, going nuts, pumping up the crowd. So we'll play that. I think very inspirational. I think something that needs to come maybe to Toronto in some capacity.
I've never heard the actual audio. I've just seen the guy. Does he have gray hair?
Yeah.
I've just seen him yelling or something, and I don't know what he was up to.
Do you want
to
hear it? Like he's got.
All right. If you want to fire it at me.
He's got the mic. He's that. They're at Azteca, which is just a massive stadium, packed house in Mexico City. And here's John Sutcliffe getting people jacked for a Monday Night Football game.
Buenas noches, México! John Sutcliffe, reportero de cancha, Estadio Azteca. Vamos a enseñar la pasión, the passion por la NFL. Es lunes, es Monday. Los 49ers y los Cardinals en Monday Night Football. ¡Viva México! ¡Viva la NFL! ¡Y viva Monday Night Football! ¡Monday Night! ¡Por ESPN! ¡Monday Night! Not-
He loves Monday Night, man.
Dude, the most fascinating thing about that, I have never heard of that guy before. The fact his name is John Sutcliffe.
Honestly, like he's
like,
from
is that
Detroit.
Rick Sutcliffe's brother?
Pedro Sutcliffe and John Sutcliffe. It's incredible. Like, I don't know. He works for ESPN Deportes, and he was jacked, man. He loves Monday Night. And, like, whenever you get the Vivas going, such a great way to, like, pump people up. Oh, Viva La Overdrive. Viva La Team Hayes. Viva La Luke's Brothers. I mean, that was one way to inspire the crowd. And they were jacked last night. The Niners were loving it. And you see ESPN do Colt McCoy dirty last night in a pregame where – they showed a shot of Jimmy Garoppolo walking into the stadium, and Garoppolo's got a $10,000 suit on that looks $100,000. Because I mean, Garoppolo's a good-looking dude. He's got
and
this
it does work.
He's got this suit on that honestly, it's mint condition. He's got the tan going. The hair is in perfect status. And then right after Colt McCoy walks in. Here it is up on TSN, too. There's Garoppolo looking, honestly, like $1 million.
Yeah, he's a 10. He's a 10 right there.
Yeah. And now Colt McCoy fell asleep at the pool, and he comes walking in. Look at Colt McCoy.
He looks like he's dropping a package off at shipping and receiving for someone in the organization.
Yeah. He's from Detroit, and he's in Vegas for the weekend at, like, a convention. You know, he's got... It's like they had to check his security. Sorry, are you an NFL player? Oh, you're the quarterback for the Cardinals. You're playing the other guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's in a $10,000 suit? Okay, good luck. Good luck tonight.
Well, but, you're right. Like, that is dressing down. What is the NFL doesn't have a dress code, or do they? Like, individual teams?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I think individual teams, more or less. But
man, oh, man.
Yeah, Colt McCoy, man, he wasn't good. Following Garoppolo, that's tough. And listen, Garoppolo deserves a lot of credit because he could have quit on that team. They quit on him.
Yep.
They were done with him.
Dude, all everyone says about that guy is how terrible he is and how they needed the kid to step in. And it's just this and that, and it's never good enough. But the guy just seems to win a lot.
He wins all the time.
Yeah.
You can say what you want. He wins. He wins football games. And like now, the team that people are picking in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl is the Niners. Like, I think if you asked 100 NFL analysts.
Which brings up the question, Hayes, why wouldn't a team like Indy or Chicago, well, the kids doing some impressive individual things in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me a team like Indy wouldn't have been sniffing around for Garoppolo to bring him in there? Like
exactly.
What,
exactly.
What do you want to? You want to go get Matty Ice out of Atlanta? Like, it's nonsense.
No, you could name 10 teams probably off your head.
No kidding.
Who would be in a better spot with Garoppolo?
And couldn't you, like, had him?
Yes.
At a particular point in the last year?
They were dying to unload him. Like, he was.
Seemed like San Fran's last option was, we're going to keep you around.
Yeah, or cut you if we have to. You know, and it's because remember, he showed up. They told him day one, Trey Lance is the guy.
That's right.
Over the summer, he wasn't even practicing. You know, he was recovering. He was rehabbing an injury. But right. He wasn't even around.
Yeah.
He was Milton from Office
Lynch
Space.
Lynch was like, on ESPN and said, it's Lance's team now. It's his time to go.
Yep. And Jimmy was like not even taking second team reps. And do you think the Jets could probably use Garoppolo? I would say they probably could.
The Cowboys could probably use Garoppolo because they're frauds.
Cowboys could definitely use Jimmy G. That'd be a big upgrade on Dak Prescott. Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. Be objective for a second here, Pierre. Be honest. Wouldn't you feel better about the Super Bowl chances of the Cowboys if Jimmy Garoppolo was their quarterback?
No.
What?
I don't think so.
Come on.
No. Oh, my God. I tell you what, I was just, I'm in a parking lot at one of the rinks here in the GTA. My son's about to play, and some of the parents are asking me about the Cowboys game in Minnesota. That is the best that the Cowboys have played over 60 minutes in years. That was unbelievable.
That was.
I mean, that honestly was against an 8-1 team on the road. Now, I get it. Vikings being Vikings, I guess, but that's not how they played all year. They just beat the Bills. So I'm just on cloud nine right now, knowing very well I will have my heart pulled right out of my chest come January. That's okay, though.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's probably true. That is probably true. Well, let's talk about the other team where that same logic will apply more than likely. And that, of course, would be the Maple Leafs, where they're up against it here, man. Like, you got Muzzin who's out and not coming back. You got Brody out likely for another couple of weeks. And now Riley's out for at least 10 games, and it sounds like it's probably more than that. That's your top three defensemen on day one of camp. Like, how does Dubas possibly navigate these waters?
Yeah. Drags reported likely 4 to 6 weeks for Riley, and there's your top three money-earning defensemen on your team, right? And I would say that when the team was healthy before the season, I think we did a hit, and we were still worried about the blue line. So that's not good. But the reality is, as Chris Johnson pointed out on Insider Trading that we just produced, it's going to be on SC shortly, is that, yes, you can go out and use Muzzin's money here at some point, but the Leafs are at the 50-contract limit to begin with. Which I think is why they put Wayne Simmons on waivers again today, although, he cleared last time, so we'll see what happens here. But for the Leafs to make any trade, number one, they have to make room on their 50 contract limit. So that's something to consider that I had, to be honest, overlooked and CJ pointed out.
Do they do it, Pierre, though? People want to know, like, are they going to get a guy to relieve some of the stress here, or, like, do they make it happen? Do they move a contract and be able to bring in a guy?
So I think my sense of it is I think they're going to try and grin and bear it for now and wait till the new year to make that. I do think they will upgrade the blue line between now and March 3rd. I don't think it's imminent. And I could be wrong, of course. But I think what's at play here is that I think they feel internally there's probably going to be more options the later they wait. And here's the other thing. But here's the other thing, too. For the moment, now ask me in 10 days, I might have a different answer. But for the moment, they're not in a desperate situation in terms of survival mode, like some of these other teams that need D. I mean, the Ottawa Senators need a D like yesterday.
No,
right?
They need three of them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that, the Leafs are in second place in their division, and that's not to say the next couple of weeks now won't be tough without their number one defenseman and overall three of their top four, of course. But at least they're going to try and grind through this from a position of strength standings-wise, and that's important to point out because one of the things that teams try to expose when you're the team selling a defenseman is your leverage points in terms of the pressure that's on the GM to do something now. And, I think there's some level of pressure for the Leafs to go out just on the Jake Muzzin situation alone an upgrade, right? Never mind the fact that Morgan Riley and TJ Brody are currently injured too, and those two are coming back at least. And we think it's probably unlikely in Muzzin's case, as you mentioned. But the pressure is not at a 10 out of 10 like it is in Ottawa right now. So, you know, that's where you sometimes make your worst trades. So I think the Leafs will just try and get through this for now and then keep exploring the market. But I do think they'll upgrade eventually.
Pierre, you mentioned the market. Do you know offhand some of the names that would be bandied about for defensemen that are out there? Is it just the usual suspects? Everyone talks about Chychrun. They talk about John Klingberg. I think you mentioned to us the other day about L.A. having a ton of right-shot defensemen. Is there somebody else or other teams that we're looking, not maybe focusing on, that might have some availability for players?
Yeah, I mean, the other guy with Klingberg and Anaheim in terms of, you know, probably looking for clarity on his future is veteran Kevin Shattenkirk, who's a UFA at the end of the season. And clearly the Ducks are in rebuild mode. So I suspect there's a decent chance he gets moved as well. And he's actually a cheaper ticket than John Klingberg. And I also, with the Leafs in mind, did a little digging and you know, because you never, you know, some players don't want to play in Canada, right? We know that. But I was told that Toronto would not be an issue for Kevin Shattenkirk if that conversation ever came about between the Leafs and the Ducks. So just file that away. It's certainly nothing imminent because he's got a personal little trade. So that's why I was digging into that one. You know, interestingly enough, even though it's not really a position of strength, but depth-wise, you know, the Habs suddenly have a lot of bodies on the blue line in Montreal. And Arpin Vassou made this point here this week in The Athletic, but you know, when they get everyone fully back, they're going to have some guys sitting in the press box or going to Laval in Montreal. So there's some potential there because that team, again, is going to look to continue to try and collect assets. You know, I did mention L.A. last week, but remember, the point I was making is that while I think eventually they do trade a right shot D, they don't want to do it until the new year in L.A., so they want to hold on here for a bit. So that's the other difficulty here is that, you know, Chychrun is out there, and I talked about Chychrun on Insider Trading tonight because the Coyotes have told teams again recently here that they are not moving down from their asking price. Two first-round picks plus a prospect or a young player. I mean, they don't feel they have to move him unless someone steps up. But this is the thing, is that I think one of the reasons why Arizona, aside from the fact that Chychrun's asked out, want to move them any time here is because I think they want to get ahead of the market when it starts to get flooded with more D. There really aren't that many guys available right now, which is why Ottawa, obviously, all summer long going into the start of this season, has struggled to find a trade partner, and why I think the Leafs would be wise in many ways, as long as they can, you know, survive the next stretch here. I think the Leafs would actually be wise to wait a bit and see who else falls on them, you know, suddenly becomes available.
With Pierre LeBrun, TSN Hockey Insider, what's your understanding of the game plan in Montreal? In other words, you know, they were first overall pick. They were awful last year. They're still young. Are they in a position where they think they can make the playoffs and that will adjust their plan, or are they still committed to 3 or 5 years down the road?
Yeah, they're still big picturing this, even though I'm sure if Marty St. Louis was on the phone with us right now, he might want to disagree with me, but that's why coaches coach and GM's GM, if you know what I mean. I think that management is still very much committed to the bigger picture here. I honestly think Montreal is going to come down to earth here. They're still giving up way too many great A's, and essentially right now they're outscoring their issues. And listen, they're fun to watch, and everyone loves the fact that they're right now surpassing expectations in that market, but I think they're going to come down to earth, and then it's going to be obvious what they should be doing. But Ken Hughes, just so you guys know, last week after the GM's meeting, he got grilled pretty good in French for quite a while after the GM's meeting about just that, to your question, Hayes. It's exactly what he was asked. You know, does the plan change if you guys are like a point out or a point in come March? And while he allowed that if the group deserved, you know, some support closer to the deadline, if they're in it, that it may be something he would look at, but he absolutely emphasized that they're not doing anything short term and sacrificing an important asset for a chance at a wild card spot. That their plan has way bigger designs, and he was pretty strong about that.
Yeah, and that's understandable considering, you know, they got some good young pieces. They still got some big contracts that they might want to eventually move on from. But yeah, obviously we know of where the two radioactive markets are in the country right now, and that's Ottawa and Vancouver.
Yeah.
How do these play out? They both lost last night. Vancouver's only, I think, 5 or 6 points out of a playoff spot, but it feels like they're an eternity back. And Ottawa, it's even worse. Ottawa's the second worst team in the league. Only Anaheim has less points. So what gives here in Ottawa and Vancouver?
Yeah, and Pierre Dorion has repeatedly gone to bat for DJ Smith again last week, too. And I mean, we asked him at the GM's meeting. And I know what we always say is, what else are they going to say publicly? But in the case of Pierre Dorion, it's really strong that he really thinks coaching's not an issue. But how long can you go until something has to happen?
The ownership, though, Pierre? Like, the Melnick's not there anymore. Like, were they willing to stomach paying DJ Smith not to be there and then pay an upgrade? Like, where does that come into play?
Well, I understand why you would say that, especially given the history of the team, but I actually truly think Pierre Dorion doesn't think this is on DJ Smith, and he might be right. I mean, look at the blue line.
Pierre. It's on him, then.
Whereas I think if you're juxtaposing the two markets on fire right now, I actually think a coaching change is inevitable in Vancouver. I just don't know when exactly. It just feels like that's what management keeps looking at internally and discussing. You know, there's just too many whispers. So I think that will happen at some point in Vancouver. The thing is, Bruce Boudreau's up at the end of the year, so it's hardly rocket science, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, do they do it, you know, they do it before the end of the year or not? They do it soon or in a month or wait? But I think there will be change there. And I asked Jim Rutherford this earlier this season, to be fair. I asked this, and I thought he gave, you know, obviously he answered the question. He didn't duck it. But when it comes to the Canucks, I'm still a bit, what's the word I would use? I don't know about mystified, but I didn't get the JT Miller extension this summer. And he's obviously a wonderful player. Don't get me wrong. But I guess I thought the Canucks were headed in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get where he fit in with that extension. And I understand what Jim Rutherford said to me in that interview we did, is that, you know, you don't trade away good players and that he still fits into, you know, their retooling. I just think that that was an opportunity, to be honest, to kickstart obtaining the kind of assets I think that pipeline's in dire need of. But it may, you know, it may come down to a lack of an appetite from ownership. It always comes down to ownership. From ownership of wanting too long a rebuild in Vancouver. And the other thing, and this goes into the coaching decision here as to how long Bruce Boudreau has behind the bench, keep in mind the Canucks are still paying Travis Green this entire season. So they're paying Green. Yeah. They're paying Boudreau. If you fire Boudreau, someone else goes in. I mean, these are realities, right? And I always like to bring that up. You know, they're paying two head coaches right now, one they fired last year and one who's still behind the bench.
Well, and I wanted to add one thing on the Ottawa situation, guys, is, you know, with the pending sale of this team, you have to think that the new owners are going to want to put their stamp on the organization as well. That might be sweeping changes. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't know who the ownership group is. So my thought process,
regardless, Jamie,
too,
it's probably a clean sweep anyway, isn't it?
Okay, so let's think this out loud. If you have if you make a change right now, you might be making a new change again, 3-4 months from now. Mm-hmm. You have to think of the situation for these players. And I'll go back to Edmonton, 5-6 years ago with Taylor Hall, Eberle, and RNH. How many head coaches did those guys have? Didn't they have like 8 head coaches in 7 years? Like, I don't think you want that for some of these young players. Jake Sanderson and Shane Pinto and Tim Stützle and stuff. And I believe that Pierre does believe in DJ Smith. You know, they're missing their number one centerman. They're missing their number one defenseman. And Zub was out for a long time. And they needed all of those players just to compete. just to try and play meaningful hockey. So it's a balancing act. So I think that what you're sitting there is going, yeah, they're in the ditch. They're what, like you said, Brian, 2 points out of last place.
Yep.
But are you going to make a change? And then there might be change coming around the corner anyway. So I think that's what you're trying to figure out. It's a balancing act.
It's complex. Yep, it is.
Right? And one of the unfortunate things of this cap system, although I know O likes to go on about how he hates this cap system in terms of the inactivity, and I'm with him, lack of activity. But the other thing that it's done is it's put the coaches right in the bullseye all the time now, because it's like, you know, you're trying to make other changes and you can, and it always, that's what I don't like in a way, because it's like, well, what, you know, is that all that teams could do now to shake up their team? I mean,
tough to dig out of a hole.
Yeah, I mean, geez, of all people, like I did an interview with Lou Lamoriello yesterday while the Islanders were here in Toronto, and I asked him about how, you know, I told him a lot of us were surprised when he fired Barry Trotz, and he talked about how he actually still talks to Trotz all the time. They have a terrific relationship, which I know Trotz has also told me recently. And he basically said, he goes, you know, you can't change the whole team. It's essentially how he explained, you know, that they needed a change. They needed a little jolt for his team that missed the playoffs last year. And I think that's sort of part of the issue with this system right now, is how else do you provide a jolt sometimes? And I think the coaches are paying the price more often than not.
Yep, certainly up here that's been the case. A lot of Canadian coaching turnover. All right, Pierre, we'll let you get back in the rink. Thank you, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Right on, boys.
Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Leafs in Jersey tomorrow night. Raptors at home against the Brooklyn Nets, who are in Philly tonight. Ben Simmons making his return to Philly, playing. Actually playing this time in Philly. That could get ugly for Ben.
That could get ugly.
And we'll get into it more tomorrow about the status of Scotty Barnes. Nick Nurse's comments on Gary Trent today, where he's not happy with the way Trent's defending, like the energy he's bringing. And he basically said if he's not going to do it, he probably isn't going to play here. So
I don't think Nick Nurse, I think he's got a clout now with the championship and the way he kind of conducts himself. If you're not going to buy in, I don't think you're around very long.
Nope. And Trent, like the nature of the NBA, every year you're basically up for a new deal. You know, like Trent's a good scorer. He really had a great season last year, like put himself on the map. But it's one thing to do it 1 year, right? Like you got to keep going and going and going. And I think with Siakam out, Barnes likely out tomorrow, Otto Porter's been out, Chua's out, like they need him. They need him to play well and to defend. That's the identity of the Raptors. That's what Nick Nurse wants.
And when the coach calls a guy out like that, it's generally the fork in the road. It either goes one way or the other. You know what I mean? He either gets involved or it's an awful ending.
Exactly. I want to point this out. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital, as we know. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, a new state-of-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune into News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for Sick Kids December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donations will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. Canada, Belgium tomorrow, 2 p.m. Come back and tee that up. Leafs in action tomorrow. Raptors in action tomorrow. And we'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. We'll do that next. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Ben Simmons, point total tonight, 11.5 on FanDuel.
I'm going over, man. He's on a heater.
I'm under the number. I'm under 11.5 points tonight, paying juice.
I'll bet you $20.
Done. Take it. Because this, I don't think he's got it in him to get up for this moment.
Well, I owe you $20 for something?
Probably.
In front of a Philly crowd, though?
Yeah, the crowd's going to be
That's what I'm saying. What has this guy done in his history to suggest he's got what it takes to show up tonight?
He was just out there. People were commenting on Twitter. He was jumping into the crowd to sign autographs. As soon as he goes back in there and puts his jersey on and the game starts, they are going to be saying things to him that he is not quite familiar with.
Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Uncomfortable for him tonight. And then I'm looking at Canada-Belgium tomorrow. I said a little sprinkle on Jonathan David to score a goal, paying plus 250. But you're getting plus money on the draw and the Canadian win. And I something about what I saw today, although I wasn't watching live, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia got a draw against Denmark. That's significant. I don't know. It's a wild start. Like, yeah, England won big. France won big. But I think it's a close game. I think it's a close match. And I think Canada can find a way to squeak out at least a tie tomorrow. So I like it. I like it. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. We're going to be on right after that. Carol will be in here. Noodles, you're calling a game tomorrow night. And we're going to have the full coverage on TSN Radio, TSN CTV. The best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, boys, enjoy it tonight. We got a bunch of games, NBA, NHL, and tomorrow it's go time. Canada, Belgium, there's your Brett Favre.
You want it? Football. Last chance.
I'll talk to you off the air. Maybe we put that on the line. Yeah. Maybe we put that on the line for Ben Simmons. Put the football on the line.
You don't even want this.
Okay, I'll take it. Why not? We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.